Blog Talk Radio.
And by whom we cry out, Abba, Father, the Spirit Himself. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Good evening. It's Stephen Thomas Farr, and you are listening to Issues Christian Men's Talk. We'd like to welcome you back. Today is September the 19th, Monday, September the 19th, 8 p.m. We'd like to thank those who have joined us online and joined us on the phone call. If you're listening online, you can join the conversation by calling 646-668-2636 and just press one on your keypad and join the conversation. We have a couple things going on tonight. We have a lot of announcements, upcoming events in the community, locally here in the Baltimore, D.C. area. So we're going to get that information out and share that, and we're going to have a conversation. We're going to touch on a lot of topics today. We're going to call this Open Line Monday, and we're going to touch on a couple of things. So you definitely need your input on what your thoughts are about our discussion for this evening. And first, let me open up with scripture and prayer. And then we'll jump right in. Amen. Amen. Tonight I'll be reading from Colossians chapter number 3, starting at verse number 1. And the Word of God says, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, and not on things on the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And Christ, whom is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members, which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affections, evil, covetousness, which are idolatry. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. Father, today we say thank you, Lord God. God, we say thank you, God, for what you've done in our lives, Lord God. We thank you for sending our son, your son, Jesus Christ, to be the offering, to pay the price in full for our sins, Lord God. Receive forgiveness and redemption through his blood. Father, continue to bless us, God. Holy Spirit, lead us and guide us, God. Give us, oh God, the wisdom. Give us this knowledge, oh God, to speak truth into people's lives today, Lord God. Father, today we want to take time out and lift up those, oh God, who don't believe, oh God. Those, oh God, who do not know you as Savior and Lord, oh God. We're praying for the lost. We're praying for those who have not heard the gospel message, God. We're praying for those whose minds, oh God, are blinded by sainted, oh God. Those who have heard the gospel and yet rejected it, Lord God. We're praying for their redemption today, Lord God. That something, Lord God, that would move upon their lives, that would open up their eyes and their ears, Lord God, to be able to see that your word is true and that you love them, Lord God. Continue, God, to strengthen marriages, Lord. Husbands, fathers, and sons, Lord God. These are the men that you call to be, Lord God, leaders of the homes and leaders in the community. Strengthen them and guide them and give them the wisdom that they need, oh God, to fulfill the purpose that you have for their life. This is our prayer tonight in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Father, tonight, gentlemen, ladies and gentlemen, both of my brothers and my regular listeners, I'd like to welcome you tonight. Amen. First, I'm going to give a shout out to a couple of ministries here that have supported Issues Christian Men's Talk and some of our past men events. First, let me give a shout-out recognition to my pastor, Bishop Joseph McCargo from City of Hope International Worship Center in Columbia, Maryland. Also, I want to shout-out to Pastor George Shaw from Jesus Lives Ministry and Fellowship in Hanover, Maryland, Apostle Edda Banks, the New Vision for Life Kingdom Builders, Pastor Chuck Brook from Graceway Church in Baltimore, Maryland, Overseer Maurice Cornwell from Uplift Through the Word Ministries in Pasadena, Maryland, Pastor Rose Perkins Banks from Praise Center for Gospel Church in Baltimore, Maryland, Pastor Ian Edwards from Winning Souls Evangelistic Church in Pasadena, Maryland, Pastor John Watts from Kingdom Life Church in Brooklyn, Maryland, Pastor Joseph Falwell from Covenant Lifehouse Ministries in Hanover, Maryland. I just want to give them a shout out tonight. Those ministries have supported us in the past and they've been guests on our show and supported our Man Up events. Amen. And also, I encourage you to continue to listen and continue to come. We are in the process of hosting another upcoming Man Up event real soon. We're working on dates and locations and ministries. And if you are listening and your ministry be interested in coming in part and coming and joining the Coalition of Ministries to Men and being part of our Man Up event, you can reach out to us on Facebook. And on our Facebook page, Issues Christian Men's Talk, send us a message there or send me a message on Facebook, and we'll let you know when we have the planning meeting. Amen? Amen. But first, we have one announcement here, that an ongoing announcement from Jesus Lives Ministry and Fellowship. On Thursday, March the 23rd to March the 26th, 2017, we have the third annual couples retreat to Ocean City, Maryland. We're going to the Holiday Inn Oceanfront. The cost is $450 per couple, and they're asking for a $100 deposit on the first week of October 2016, and the balance will be paid by January. Amen. But you can call the church at 410-859-8002 and get more details and information about that. Also, if you go to our Facebook page and reach out to us there, you see the posting to contact the church there. Again, that's a third annual couples retreat in March 2017, Ocean City, Jesus Lives Family Ministry. Amen? Amen. We also have a couple of upcoming community health fairs. First one we wanted to let you know is coming up is on September the 25th. At this Sunday, this coming Sunday, September the 25th, at New Vision for Life Kingdom Builders, they're going to have it from 1 p.m. to 4 p.m., and the address is going to be 1724 Woodlawn Drive in Gwen Oak, Maryland. You can call the church for directions or information if you'd like to set up a vendor table and be part or in more details by calling 410-944-5664. That's 410-944-5664. That's for September the 25th from 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. Community Health Fair. Also, I believe it's the next following week or so, October the 1st, Covenant Life House Ministries is also having a health fair in the Glen Burnie area. They're located at 508 McCormick Drive in Glen Burnie, Maryland, and that's going to be on October the 1st in Glen Burnie. You can contact the church there at 410-766-6021. So that's two health fairs coming up. We encourage you to come out. I talked to the coordinators there in the previous broadcast, and there's a lot of things you'll be out there. You'll be checking blood sugar, blood pressure, cholesterol levels, telling you about the things you need to do, how to eat right, eat better, change your diets to overcome diabetes. There could be diabetes, blood sugar testing, blood pressure. Your BMI, you're going to count your weight plus the fat plus the height and make sure you're not too short for your weight. So if we need to, we give you some exercise to make you taller. That way you'll be within the weight limits. Amen? So we encourage you to come out there. Also, you can go on the Facebook page. You see the flyers and the links and phone numbers there to reach out to those ministries and the dates. Amen? Amen. We have one more. We have another event coming up. We're part of the Howard County Coalition to Prevent Intimate Partner Violence, different scenarios, the same outcome. These are the red flags for intimate partner domestic violence, and that's going to be held on Wednesday, the 21st of September, from 9 a.m. to 12 noon at the Baltimore, Washington Conference Center of the United Methodist Church Mission Center. And they're located at 11711 East Marketplace in Fulton, Maryland. The zip code is 20759. And we encourage you, it's one part of their training and dialogue series. And this one, they're particularly going to talk about some of the red flags that we can see in victims who are struggling or might be caught up in domestic violence, in relationship violence, teenagers for dating violence. And they're going to be talking about a lot of different things and opportunities, because some of the red flags that we see in people's relationships can be signs of abuse and different types of abuse. So that's going to be a teaching series, and you can reach out there at that's also on our Facebook page, and you can get the contact information there, or reach out to us on the Facebook page. We can get you the contact information if you need to. You can register online. Amen. We'll have some more detailed information on that as soon as I find it here in my notes. However, it's on Wednesday, the 21st, so we encourage pastors, leaders to try and make that. It's education. We need to know what domestic violence really looks like. It's not going to necessarily be a bruise, a broken arm, black eye, or, you know, there's a lot of other forms of abuse and psychological and emotional abuse that goes on also. So I'm just going to talk about some of the red flags and things that we see that we may take notice for those that are in our circle of influence, in our families, in our ministries, and in our neighborhoods. So we encourage you to join us there. Amen. For that. Amen. So tonight, we're going to have sort of an open forum here tonight. I invited some brothers to call in and give their wisdom and input on some of the things we're going to talk about tonight. Again, if you're listening online, you can call into 646-668-2636. Press 1 on your keypad, and we'll bring you into the conversation. And also, you can always go to www.blogtalkradio.com/Deacon Thomas Farr and be able to listen to this broadcast and all our archived past broadcasts. Amen? Amen. Amen. So, Pastor Larry Watkins, how are you, sir? Good evening.
Hello, Deacon Farr. I'm well, sir. How are you?
Amen. Good to hear your voice, brother. Thank you for joining us tonight, taking time out of your schedule. We're going to talk about a lot of different things here tonight. I would like, real quick, this is production information. You were supposed to email me some information. If you could email it to my Ministry 2 account for me, so I can see it, because you sent it to me at an account that I don't have access to. If you could, brother.
Okay.
If that's opportunity.
All right.
All right. Thank you. But anyway, we're gonna move on tonight. I'm gonna touch on a couple things. I'm gonna get some insights and wisdom here. Like I said, open line, but we're gonna lay the foundation, because one of the things I believe that we have to as a body of Christ and as Christian men in general, you know, if we have titles, we're pastors, leaders, ministers, or lay folk, that we definitely have to be able to, you know, to concern ourselves with what's going on around us, because so many things are going on in this culture. But we cannot be taken off course by the events in the culture and what's going on, because these things are not new. This is an ongoing thing. And we talked about this earlier in the previous show that, you know, the enemy uses a lot of things to get us off course and off purpose and to try and distract us. You know, it's a quick, slight trick of hand, and he does one thing in his left hand while he's doing something in his right hand. And I do believe, honestly, that in America, it's race. It's really race, because something can happen between the races, and we'll forget everything else that's going on and focus on that. And I mean, I'll say that we minimize it. But however, there's other things that's also going on that's not being paid attention to. When race hits America, the media catches it, the media rides with it, the media said sometimes they initiate it and keep it stirred up and keep it going. So there's other things that we don't notice and we don't see, you know, being distracted, I'll use that word. Amen? But as a body of Christ, we have to be wise. We have to know that the things that go on in this culture is because of sin. It's as simple as that. We can put it in categories. We can put it in a box. We can categorize it. We can this and that. But it's all about sin. It's about a fallen world. And that we, the expectation that we have for that sin is not affecting this human race all over the world is for us to be naive. I mean, here in America, we rise up over things that other Christians around the world struggle with every day just for their faith. But again, we here in America, we're spoiled because as we argue back and forth over the things that go over here, there's people in this world, in this planet, who are being killed and persecuted every day that doesn't make the news because of Jesus Christ and what they believe. So we have to really be mindful of that and who we are in God, you know, who we are as human beings, as men of God, because, you know, we, again, we'll be distracted by certain things. We'll put all a bunch of energy into it until it dies down and goes away. But tonight, we're going to talk a little bit about evangelism and the church, the body, not the church, because anyone who listens to the show already knows when I say the church, I'm talking about you and me, us believers, who believe that Jesus Christ has died for our sins, and we are redeemed, and we are his church, and we're called to do some things. So one of the things I want to touch on today is some reasons that some churches don't seem to be evangelistic, you know, and some churches go out, I'm not going to say that, because we all know churches who go into the communities, engage in the communities, and when they go, they're not going with a political agenda, or demonstrating, but they're going to share the love of God and share it in different kinds of ways. But a lot of churches just don't do it. They for some reason, they think that everyone's going to come through their doors, through their threshold, and they don't reach out to the communities and try and meet a need, or try and just sow the faith and the love of God into people's lives. Because something we talk about a lot here, issues that, especially for men, there's a lot of things going on in a man's life, a lot of pressures that he's under just by being a man, a husband, and a father. That if he doesn't have anyone to help him through, to help him make right decisions, there's a lot of things that brothers get caught up in because they just don't have nobody. And then again, if they wasn't raised with a certain standard or accountability in their life, and they just move on their emotions and their flesh, and that's where a lot of our problems in this culture it come from. Amen. So some of the things we're going to talk about tonight is I have a couple of folk on the line here, and I want to get their insight onto it. But one of the things is people, they believe, some churches, they don't really believe people need Christ. And this is one of the things that, you know, we did at a discussion with this in one of our men's group when we talked about evangelism, that we assume everyone knows Christ, and we assume everyone has heard the pure gospel. And one of the things that we struggle with, that we really have to be able to combat, really, especially spiritually and in the media and temple, is a lot of folks, the gospel they heard is not the true gospel. They only know about sometimes televangelists and the things that the ups and downs of that. They may watch it, a certain person on TV or on the radio, and listen to their teaching and think that's it. And then because they have never actually read the Word of God or studied the Word of God or been to a church who took time to answer their questions. And so I think there's a segment of Christ, of the church, that really believe that people, you know, they really don't believe people need, that we don't need to go out and evangelize. They all know. They just choose to be sinners and choose to be in disobedience. Pastor Watkins, what do you think about that?
Sorry, Deke, I was muted there and I was still talking. It's not. I think that people want to believe in Jesus. I think that people want to deal with. They want to have something to hold on to. They want to believe in a higher power. It's inherent in all of us to believe that there's someone greater than us. The problem is that when you think of the name Jesus, or you hear Jesus, it's synonymous with so many things that have that are negative now, that people don't believe that it's truly the answer. As you said, people have not heard the pure gospel. They've heard a bastardized gospel. They've heard a compromised gospel. They've heard a watered-down gospel, but they haven't heard the true gospel of Jesus Christ. And that simply is that God is love and that he loves all of us. And because of that love, there was a sacrifice made for us. And that is the pure gospel of Jesus Christ. We are so jaded in this country. We are so jaded as a people by the stuff that we hear, by the things that the media portrays to tear down the name of Jesus and to tear down the name of pastors and ministers. We're so affected by the things that we hear now and the things that we see. We're so affected by the sin that's in the world, as you said, that when you start to talk about the pure love of Jesus Christ, when you start to talk about the agape love, when you try to minister that to somebody, it's so far-fetched that it's hard for them now to receive it. The thing of it is that many of us that call ourselves Christians, that call ourselves leaders, that call ourselves ministers, we talk ourselves out of the fact of evangelizing before we even step out on the street or even before we speak a word. We convince ourselves that nobody wants to hear this. We convince ourselves that everybody is on the road to hell. We convince ourselves that nobody is going to believe what I say. And it's more a matter of not us trusting in the word of God or trusting in the gospel of Jesus Christ, but it's our own insecurities, our own inability to deal with rejection, our own inability to want to put ourselves out there and preach something that we think that we might have to back up. And that's not the case at all. God's word stands on its own. And it's not the fact that people are out there rejecting you. They're rejecting Jesus Christ. They're rejecting the message. They're not rejecting you per se. And to evangelize, we have to get past our own issues. And many of us in this country have never gotten past our own issues. So it's the matter of the fact that Jesus Christ, the gospel of Jesus Christ, has been so watered down and so messed up, the negative connotations that go along with speaking the word of Jesus, the name of Jesus Christ, and then the reputation of those that have come behind it, and the jackleg preachers and the roosters in the henhouse temperament and everything else, that all of these things now are hindering the word of God and people receiving the word of God. And it's all a matter of us trying to get back to the grassroots, to the main points that God is love, and that's what we need to minister. What do you think, sir?
Amen, sir. You know, I agree. That's one of the things. It's the love of God. We have to remember, what did Christ do when he came, and what did he train the apostles to do? You know, it was to make disciples. It was to go out to the nation, go out to the pagan nation. If we look at the lives of Peter and Paul, what did they do after they were commissioned to leave from Jerusalem and go out and preach that gospel all to all parts of the earth? And we have to be able to, we should be preparing folks first. Let me say that, you know, because that's one of the issues. That's one of the things I'm going to bring up later, however. But we have to be preparing folks to go out and minister to a lost, minister to those that who don't know. But if we don't go in confidence, if we don't go knowing what we believe and why we believe it, it can be a struggle, you know, and we can get caught up. And again, we have to realize it's spiritual warfare. Amen? Amen. I have another brother here on the line. Brother Boone, how are you, sir? Good evening.
Good evening, Brother Farr. Good evening, Pastor.
Good evening, sir.
Amen, brother. Amen. See, I recognize you, brother. I got to call you by name because I recognize your number. This is one of our, one of our brothers who call because he calls in on every show, so he's good. Amen.
Amen.
What do we think about what we're talking about tonight? We touched on, you know, that sometimes we have a mindset that we don't think people, we don't really believe people need Christ, that we don't need to go out. What do you think, sir? And how important evangelism really is?
Well, first and foremost, giving honor to God and to my church, Covenant of Life House Ministries, and Pastor Joe there. And I tell you, the ministry of Christ is what we all go to church for, I believe. That's why I go to church. I always believe and remember how Christ was introduced to me. He was introduced that he was born of the Virgin Mary, and he was brought here by God to die for our sins. And I think that as y'all was speaking about, that it needs to be more illustrated in the church. Yes, it has to be an introduction that people have to be reminded, hey, Christ came here for a reason, for you. That's why you're sitting in those pews. That's why you're standing in the pulpit, because you believe in Christ and what Christ has done for all of us. If we didn't have Christ, where would our souls our personalities be? I know my personality is sustained because of Jesus and what he's done and what he portrayed to others that walk the street, love, compassion, understanding, and all those good things. You know, even discipline he has taught, but in a loving manner. What do you think?
Amen. You're absolutely correct. And that's one of the things we also talk about a lot, you know, here at Issues, is that having a godly character and those things that we see the benefits of. You know, a pastor once said, you know, he taught on when we do evangelism, we always come to folks telling them what they need to stop doing or what they shouldn't be doing or what they should do. They have to give up for Christ. You know, and then some of that is I think we have to change it around. We have to tell them about the goodness of the Lord that would draw them in. It's not so much what you need to stop doing. It's what God's gonna do in you that things will start to drop off for your life, your thinking. Because we're talking about a renewed heart. That's the true gospel. It's a renewed heart from belief, and we get belief and faith from knowledge. So again, I think it's very important that when we do that evangelism, that we have to understand that everyone needs Christ. Everyone needs Christ, and that we have a responsibility. We have a God-ordained responsibility to share the gospel message with the world. Amen. Well, Pastor Watkins, I'm going to move to our second point here. It's going to be evangelism is spiritual warfare. And this is one of the things definitely we need to do, because we have, you know, churches, they move out of emotion, they move out of wanting to serve, and without a balance of, you know, serving and not a balance with gospel, not a balance with preparation. You know, sometimes the things we do in the church, we do to be recognized, we do for recognition of men, that people will speak well of us. But then, are we really giving them the gospel? It's one of the things that a pastor told me once, and this is a pastor I knew who did it, who did community outreach and had a pantry and, you know, did the things on holidays and clothing drives and all that. But he said to me, you know, one of the things you have to remember, this is all fine and dandy, but if they still die and go to hell, or if they still live a life, we can feed them every day, clothe them, take care of them, do and have outreaches with them, but if they still die and end up in hell, we have failed as a church. And we have to measure what the things we do when we do outreaches. Are we sharing the gospel in the midst of all of that? Are we telling folk about Christ? Pastor Watkins, what do you think, sir?
I think that should be the ultimate goal in everything that we do. Everything that we should do as a church, as a ministry, should point to Jesus Christ. The Bible says that we are salt and light. Salt meaning that we are preservative, but light also showing that we are the one, we are to give direction, we are to give perspective, we're to be able to sit on the hill and show them that this is the way, this is safety here, this is where you come to. And as a church, when we evangelize or when we minister, when we do outreach, everything should point people back to the fact that Jesus is the answer. You know, there used to be a song out a long time ago that Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above him, there's no other. Jesus is the way. Well, this is the truth. That's the truth. And everything that we do needs to point people to the fact that Jesus Christ is the answer. Whether we do outreach, ultimately, when you do outreach, yes, you're doing it. You're feeding people. You're giving them clothes. You're doing all this. But there should be an altar call somewhere in the midst of that. Somebody should say a word about the Lord somewhere. If you're doing a youth event, somebody should hear about Jesus Christ somewhere in that youth event. Even, no matter what you do, there should always, it always has to lead to an invitation to Jesus Christ. Remember, the first call of a Christian is not to build a church. It's not to start a ministry. The first call of a Christian is to the ministry of reconciliation, to bring folk back to Jesus Christ. And we need to be about that work, about bringing people back to Jesus Christ. Everything that we do now, right now, if you look at this world, it seems like it's going to a shambles, you know. And I'm reminded of the book of Haggai, and where they were supposed to be building the temple, and the Lord told them, it's like, you know, how can you live in a place and my house lie in ruin? Well, it seems like we are striving to better ourselves as a people, to better ourselves as a country, but yet we've forgotten about Jesus Christ. We've taken prayer out of schools. We're trying to get God off the money. We're trying to do all these things, but Jesus is the only way. He is the way, the truth, and the light. And we need to make sure that we point people back to him. And everything you do, everything that you minister, every pancake breakfast that you have, every dinner that you sell, everything that you do in your church should somehow point people back to Jesus Christ. And that's the ultimate goal of reconciliation. What do you think, sir?
Amen. You know, you're right. And I think we in all that we do, we have to remember that, you know. It's funny. It's just that, you know, I think we, because it takes a lot to do outreach, and we want to do all that. But I think we should have, you know, there should be a designated member of the team where the gospel is their responsibility, that they're going to, whatever's going on, at points throughout, you know, anything that we do, that the gospel message, and even in the midst of it, it can be through tract, it can be through evangelism team who's been working. I mean, I've been part of things where it was strategic. You know, it wasn't happenstance and by chance. It was strategic that the gospel would get out to those in the midst. Amen. Brother Bloom, what do you think, sir? The importance that we have to be able to be able to, that is spiritual warfare, and we have to be on purpose, because, you know, when we go out, there's a lot of things, you know, we send our folk out there, but our folk will bring back a whole bunch of stuff, too, if they're not properly prepared. What do you think, sir?
That is a very, very great point. The pastor had mentioned letting your light, in a sense saying letting your light so shine that others may see, and that's true. I mean, you have to get out in the midst of these communities, in which I'm linking arms with Beyond the Walls at Covenant of Lifehouse Ministries. I have a outreach program called Community of Love United Organization that God has brought that name to me. And it takes an organization, it takes a village to raise a child. But gaining that relationship in these communities, in these two different communities, when I go to these rental offices, they already had in their mind that I was a pastor or some sort, which I'm not. I'm just a loving Christ-loving person that just bringing love to the community, just like Jesus would if back when he was here, or as he's here, through people. He's doing that through people all through the world, all through the cities. It's nothing to get big-headed about, that when somebody says, how do I introduce you? Are you a pastor? So, no, just a child of God, just a nobody, just trying to tell somebody about Jesus. That's it. And that's what we need to do. And then that's what, as you know, when you walk that way, it just draws people unto you. That and I've seen that happen many times, and it's like I stated, it's nothing to get big-headed about the person, about yourself. It's just pleasing, and it's all in showing that God is alive and well, and he answers prayers. What do you think?
Amen, sir. You know, I hear excitement in your voice and what you're saying, but you're right. We have to be on purpose and be able to engage folks. And you know, in the spiritual warfare part of it is, again, we're going out amongst those. We're going out in the trenches, you know. And the enemy, you know, the enemy in some communities, neighborhoods. And let me say this too, because we have a tendency to think people of a certain socioeconomic level, we tend to want to minister to them a lot more than we would at others. Who, I'm gonna make it plain, you know, it's sometimes easier to minister to the struggling communities, or to be able to minister in affluent communities, because we have to really, for a lot of churches, it's taken out of their comfort zone. For some reason, we think because people don't have material things, that it's easier for us to minister to them than people who have a lot. But believe me, those who have means, have material success, need Christ also. And that's where we definitely are challenged. You know, I've known of only a few churches who were able, who crossed that socioeconomic line, you know, and I was part of some, and others I've known and witnessed to. And I think that's one of the things, because we want to help so much, because really it's easy to help materially than it is spiritually. And I think the spiritual side of evangelism is what keep a lot of folk out of the trenches, preparing themselves, you know, being able to be able to go and really minister. And it goes back to, again, are people really prepared to share the gospel? Are they able to have intelligent? You know, you don't have to be a theologian. You don't have to have a master's degree in theology. You don't even need a college degree. But can you know what you believe and why you believe it, and hold a conversation when a person has true questions about faith, about Christ, about the Word, and are we able to communicate it without speaking Christianese? And I think those are the things that we have to look at our own selves in the mirror and ask. When we're sharing the gospel, are we willing, and are we prepared? And are we prayed up? Because, again, it's not about us. Because also, I'll say this, because, again, these are things that I've been through in my process and have seen. You know, trying to get folk to recite the sinner's prayer, you know, and all those things, because if we don't do that, we haven't really done anything in all of this. But again, we have to use the wisdom that God has given us. We have to use what God has put in our hand, the talents he's given us, to be able to reach the lost world. Pastor Watkins, what do you think about the spiritual warfare aspect of it that tends to keep folk out? Well, not keep folk, but stop some folk and some churches for aggressively evangelizing. What do you think, sir?
It's definitely spiritual warfare, Deke. It's the fact that you're going into the enemy's kingdom, and you're trying to take people away from that kingdom. So it's definitely spiritual warfare. And the first thing that the enemy is going to do is try and make you feel insecure. He's going to attack a person at their confidence level. The first thing he's going to do is to bring up your own faults and your own issues, because sin makes a coward out of all of us. It makes a coward out of us and won't allow us to say the things that need to be said. So he's going to attack our own character. So it means that we have to be prayed up. We have to be able not only be prayed up, but we have to be able to have a reason, as Peter said, for the hope that lies within us, as you said. And we have to be able to talk intelligently and not always spout a bunch of scriptures. You know, you can say all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, but what does it mean? You can say Jesus hung on the cross and died for your sins, but what does it mean? And how do I bring that across to somebody who has no concept or ever heard of a Bible in their lives? You have to realize now, Deke, that we're dealing with a culture a generation of people that are coming out now that have never heard about Jesus Christ, that have never been to church. You know, before we had grandmothers praying for us and we had big mamas praying for us, and they would bring us to church and all of this would happen. But now we are three and four generations removed away from big mama and grandmama. And now grandmama is 45 years old and mama is 25 years old. And now you got children coming up under them that have never been to church. That grandmama don't know how to pray because nobody ever prayed with grandmama. So we are now entering a generation that's never heard about Jesus. So you can't come with a bunch of biblical platitudes thinking that you're going to bring somebody to Christ. This is where you have to be trained. This is where you have to have some wisdom and some understanding about what you're teaching. You can't just know the scripture verbatim and not understand the meaning of the scripture. You have to be able to understand and know. You have to be able to rightly divide the word and be able to teach the principle and not always pound them over the head with the scripture. Yes, the scripture saves. Yes, the word of God stands on its own, and I'm not going to debate that. I understand that. But sometimes you have to be able to get to people where they are and then take them where they need to be. And sometimes you have to be able to get them where they are by telling them something that they can understand to get them to a point where they can see something greater than themselves. And this is the kind of wisdom that we need to have if we decide to go out and evangelize. We need to make sure that we're prayed up. We need to make sure that we understand what we're saying, and then we need to be able to bring it to them on a grassroots level, on their level, and then bring them up higher. The last thing I want to say, Deke, is that whenever somebody goes out to evangelize, there should always be a second part of this, and this is the part that we miss, and that's the folk in the background, whether it be at the church or someplace else, that are interceding for those folk that are in the midst of evangelizing, because there's a whole nother struggle in the spiritual realm that people who are ministering can't deal with because they're dealing with the people. So there needs to be somebody in behind you that's praying, that's got your back, that's going to bat for you and interceding for you while you're out ministering, so that all of your bases are covered, not only physically but spiritually. What do you think, sir?
Amen, sir. You know, I agree with what you're saying. And again, it's strategic. It's got to be intentional. And again, we have to be prepared to go out. I mean, Jesus took 3 years with the 12 to be able to prepare them, and still, they did not go until they received the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. And then Paul didn't leave until he was given by the Spirit. There was time for him to go outside of Jerusalem. So again, we have to be on purpose. We have to be intentional. I want to jump down to something, because this is where this is where we're gonna go. We're gonna go right in with both feet here, because we have leaders that are not evangelistic, pastors, elders, deacons, teachers. If they don't have the mindset for evangelism, I personally haven't really known some. I've known churches, unfortunately, they're denominational, but I won't get into that right now, who don't think they need to go out, that somehow our faith is your personal faith and you don't need to tell anyone. Because I've heard folk say that about when you talk to them about evangelism, well, my faith is personal, and I don't have to tell people about my other faith and tell them about why they should be saved and what they're doing wrong. I said, well, that's because you haven't been trained to be evangelistic. And then that tells me there's churches out here who the leadership is not evangelistic. And if they're not, you know, it's like everything else. It flows. It flows from the head, you know. And I just don't understand. I'm going to read something real quick, and I want to get your thoughts on that, because I'm going to the Word, because I'm going to Matthew chapter 28, and I'm starting at verse 18. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All power is given unto you in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world." And amen. So, you know, we have our marching orders. We have it. That was one of the last things Jesus told us. But, you know, again, we have some churches who don't have a mindset for evangelism. They unfortunately, they turn themselves into little, what I want to call them, little clubs, sororities, fraternities, whatever they want. But, you know, it's unless you come through our doors and meet our requirements, you can't even be part of us. But I know, sir, you've been in church a long time. What do you think?
I think that the Bible says that one man plants, one man waters, but God gives the increase. I think that there are things that we are all good at. There are things that we all have a talent for. And for some people, their talent is not evangelism. Their talent is building congregations. Their talent is ministering in a different area. That's why we have people who preach healing and deliverance. You have people who preach prosperity. You have people who preach hell and, you know, hellfire and brimstone. You have all these different types because you have all these different people that need different messages. That's one side of the coin. The other side of the coin is those people who are simply afraid. And as I said before, sin makes a coward out of all of us. They're afraid of the rejection. Now, Deacon, rejection is a booger, man. Rejection is one of the biggest issues that is out there that the enemy uses when it comes to dealing with yourself and with any issue. We are so we can't deal with rejection that well. And whenever somebody is dealing with rejection, it's a deterrent from them ever stepping out. The rejection can bring fear. It can bring low self-esteem. Rejection can lead to so many different things, all because somebody rejected what you said or is not accepting what you said. And many people are so afraid of that rejection that it causes them never to want to step out. Hence, you get statements like, "It's my own personal faith. I don't think I need to share it with anybody." When I hear something like that, I'm thinking that there are other issues that are deep rooted. There are other things that are going on that are causing somebody to say something like that. Because again, we're all called to the ministry of reconciliation. We're all called to be able to share the gospel. Your thing may not be talking, then hand out a tract. You know, your thing may not be able to approach people, then put them someplace where somebody can get them. You know, put a message out there. You know, type up a blog or do something. But we're all about the ministry of reconciliation, to share the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it is our job to do that, every one of us. You don't have to be a minister. You don't have to be a deacon or anything like that. All you have to do is be saved, sanctified, and filled with the blood of Jesus, the Spirit of God, and you can minister. You can minister be about the ministry of reconciliation. And sometimes you don't even have to say a word. It's all about the life you live and showing that in front of somebody else. A lot of times, the thing that stops us is the life that we live, because we understand that our life may not line up with what we say. And all of these things are the thing that hinder us from going out and evangelizing, because we don't live the life. We're too afraid of the rejection, and we haven't been prayed up enough to go out and deal with the things that are coming. What do you think, sir?
Amen, sir. But, you know, it's sometimes, we were talking about evangelism here at Issues Christian Let's Talk, and some of the reasons that Christians who aren't evangelistic, and we're talking about a couple here, and one of the things we touched upon was, you know, leadership, and that's something you said resonated. You know, if our life doesn't line up, if those who come to us and our lives are shaky, it's kind of hard to try and bring somebody in. And I think that's some of the things that we struggle with and deal with when we're talking about evangelism and leadership is not being very evangelistic. Because, again, you know, leaders are people also, but if they have not been redeemed and reconciled back to God and have that confidence, you know, because some folk come to the church and will ask questions and watch and see some things and may question some things. And if we can't stand flat-footed and righteous with clean hearts and open with clean hands and open hearts, then it's hard to evangelize. Because we'll be held accountable to folk when they ask us about how we live it and what we believe and what we say and do. Pastor, Brother Boone, what do you think, sir, about it? The importance of, that leadership, it's the genesis where it all starts. If the leaders are not evangelistic, then the church most likely will not be. And it filters down into their flocks.
Even a Christian as I, and I'm unworthy, I know, of what God has done for me, I realize that Jesus simplified it for everybody. There was no, when he came to save our sins, everybody knows, biblically told, he was out and about ministering. Evangelism and doing all the things that God wanted him to do to get the truth about God and what he stands for. And that's what I like about what Pastor Joseph Powell came up with, the Beyond the Walls. You have to come out behind the walls. I mean, staying in the walls is just what it means. It stays in the walls. So what is it good for if it stays in the wall? Nothing to me. If I don't get out and about or go to enjoy the earth and the fullness thereof, I don't enjoy what God's given me. So for someone to stay locked in and may not feel comfortable to go out there to evangelize, that's okay. But get the word on how it's really done, because there's many ways it could be done that may be comfortable for that person. It may not be comfortable for someone else versus someone else to do a little bit further into the community versus just outside the community. So there's evangelism out there that's comfortable for everybody that wants to do so. What do you think?
Amen, sir. You know, I appreciate that, what you said, because that's one of the things we have to do. First of all, we as men of God, as a church, as the body of Christ, again, here at Issues Christian Ministry, when we say the church, we're talking about the people. We're talking about the living, breathing people. We have to talk about buildings and sanctuaries and windows and stained glass and pews, the people. Us as the church, we have to have a heart to reach the lost. We have to understand every soul we come in contact, there is only two destinations, heaven or hell. Okay? Now, the things we accomplish here on earth, you know, we could be, we could make $10,000 a year, $100,000 a year. But our souls, it's a great equalizer when we stand before God. And if we don't have that internal passion to tell folk about the love of Christ, who Christ was, why Christ died, why they must be saved, what must they do to be saved, that God has loved them so much that he sent a way to redeem him back unto himself. And if we don't have that, passion, I'll say this to anyone. Are you truly filled with the Holy Spirit? If you're not, like you said, if you don't have the skill and talents that God has put in you, because God created us, and now the Holy Spirit's within us, he gave us a certain personnel, a certain way to speak, to reach a certain group of people. That's one of the things I learned early in evangelism. There's people out here who only will receive from you. You don't have to imitate nobody else. You don't have to be like anybody else, sound like anybody else, or look like anybody else. But if you know the gospel, if you know what you believe and why you believe it, and you prepare to step out on faith and the boldness of the Holy Spirit when you're encouraged to speak it, someone's soul will be saved. And we talk about their life being changed, but maybe God will help them endure some of the things that they're going to have to go through in life. Because there's a lot of stuff for the consequences of sin. However, our salvation is, again, is not based on what we do. Our salvation is based on what Christ did. And we have to have that passion to share the love of God and let people know. We can't assume folk know. We can't assume everybody's heard and some reject and some don't. Because even folk in the church, you know, you'd be shocked. The folk that we are in fellowship with, what they believe when it comes to what the Word of God teaches, and some of it is not biblical. But they were because they don't study for themselves. But that's a whole other broadcast we do about the importance of studying for ourselves. Amen. Brother, I'm going to come to you in a few minutes because we're getting close to end here, and I want to get your final closing thoughts on the subject of evangelism and why we want it so important. You've been listening to Issues Christian Men's Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. We're here every Monday night at 8 p.m., every Thursday night at 8:30 p.m. You can always go to www.blogtalkradio.com/Deacon Thomas Farr. You can listen to the rebroadcast of this show and archive of all of our past shows. And also, you can go to Facebook at Issues Christian Men's Talk on Facebook. Well, we invite you to join us, join the group, listen in. We post men's events, community events. We have devotional links there, and we just share words of wisdom and words of encouragement. If you're having a men's meeting, if you have a monthly, quarterly, bi-weekly men's meeting, send it to us. We'll post it. Because one of the things we definitely want to do as part of the Coalition of Ministries to Men is put opportunities out there where we know where Christian brothers are coming together in fellowship, in prayer, or teaching, that if a man needs somewhere to go, needs a place, and wants to reach out and engage and get with other men of like-mindedness, it's there. So because we send it out, we post it, and, you know, if your church is having a men's event, let us know. And, you know, we can connect and we can network together. Because the Bible says we have to be able to reason together and encourage one another and support one another. And that's what we believe here at Issues, that is important for men. Because men are the leaders. As husbands and fathers and sons, we're called to lead in the church, in the community, and especially in our homes. And mostly in our homes. Okay, amen? Because before there was a church, there was a man and a woman and family, and it was husband. And we had, and I remember years ago, I think it was a 2-week study on just what a husband is. Because we take it for granted. We take it, it's been deceived, it's been changed in this culture. The definition of marriage has been manipulated to something that's not, that is ungodly. And again, that's because there's some folk who don't, either they don't know the Word of God, reject the Word of God, or haven't been discipled in the Word of God, and they go with the cultural flow because it's easy. Pastor Watkins said it before, rejection is hard, going along with the crowd is easy, and this is why we as Christians, as believers, must push against the grain, must stand up, be salt and light, and shout as truth, because it also as men, we're called to be watchmen over our generations, for our children's children's children. Amen. Again, I'm Deacon Thomas Farr, and this is Christian Men's Talk. Brother Bull, I'm going to come to you. Any closing thoughts?
Well, I do hope that, and thank you, Pastor, for all your spiritual words as well, that those who are listening, that we pass it on, that we, you know, I noticed that Jesus, he spoke in parables. He broke it down to people. So nothing's difficult to break down to anybody in the spiritual realm. So that's what I have to say on that.
Amen. Pastor Watkins, any closing remarks?
Yes, sir. I thank you for, first of all, for the opportunity to be on the show. I'm grateful to my brother for his comments and his words of wisdom. I applaud you, sir, for the work that you're doing and the ministry that you're doing in evangelism and reaching out to the community. The thing I wanted to say in final thought is that we have to understand that we all have a voice. Our voice sometimes may not be our voice, but the voice that we put down on paper, or the voice that we put in drawings and in our art, But we all have a voice, and that voice is the thing that we need to use to bring people to Christ. Like I said, it doesn't mean that you have to go out and speak the word of God and quote scriptures from beginning to end, but you can hand out a tract, a pamphlet. You can put a pamphlet in a place where somebody can get it and see it. You can spread the word about things that are going on in your church so that people can come out and see your church. It doesn't mean that you have to be out there trying to get them saved yourself. The Bible says that God said, I stand over my word to perform it. All we have to do is speak it. He's the one that has to bring it to pass. And he said that if you lift him up, he would bring all men unto him. So it's our job. It's our job to get out there and to use whatever voice that we have to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ so that people can hear that there is the love of Jesus Christ abounding in their lives. Thank you, sir.
Amen, sir. God bless you, and I thank you. Again, this is Issues Christian Men's Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. I appreciate you for listening, and I pray that you would join us again on Thursday, every Thursday at 8:30, and Mondays at 8 p.m. God bless you, and continue to believe God.
Very special, beautiful gift. Heaven sent me out. Very wonderful, supernatural.